But there's another quite important aspect to the whole question, and that is the aspect of temperament, especially spiritual temperament. I want you to go into that just a little. In Buddhism, traditionally, there are several classifications according to temperament. But this evening I'm concerned with only one of them. But it's one that will be familiar to many of you, especially if you've studied chapter 15 of the Three Jewels. According to this classification, persons are of three spiritual types. First of all, there is the faith follower. Then there is the doctrine follower. And finally, there is the body witness. The faith follower is the devotional type of person. It's the type of person who experiences strong feelings of love and devotion towards the ideal, especially perhaps as embodied in the figure of the Buddha, the archetypal Buddhas, the archetypal Bodhisattvas, the great teachers, and so on. A faith follower, a person of this type, is very fond of puja and chanting, and perhaps of religious music. This sort of person likes to go on pilgrimage. And incidentally, just recently, the last few weeks, I've had quite a few postcards from India, from people, order members and mitras and friends, who are on pilgrimage to the Buddhist holy places. And they seem to have a very good time in the very best sense. And several of them have written to the effect that seeing the places where the Buddha lived, seeing the places where the Buddha taught, has made the Buddha and his teaching very, very much more alive for them than it was before. And of course, yes, it's people of this kind of devotional temperament, especially perhaps the faith followers who love to go on pilgrimage and remember the Buddha and make their knowledge of the Buddha and his life more vivid in this particular way. The faith follower also seems to feel a need for personal contact with the teacher. Not just to read the teacher's books. The faith follower likes to have personal contact with the teacher whenever possible. And the faith follower also likes to serve fellow disciples. Because the faith follower thinks, well, we're all followers of the same teacher. To serve the teacher's disciples, in a way, is to serve the teacher himself. So the faith follower has this sort of attitude of service, especially to fellow disciples. So I think you can recognize the type, so to speak, the faith follower, the devotional type of person. The doctrine follower is the more intellectual type of person. And I'm using the word intellectual here in a quite positive sense. In modern times, it does sometimes assume a rather negative connotation, but I don't have that negative connotation at all in mind. I use the word entirely in a positive sense. The doctrine follower feels a strong need to understand the Dharma. For the doctrine follower, it's not enough to love the Dharma and to serve the Dharma. The doctrine follower wants to understand it. So the doctrine follower is very fond of studying the sutras and the shastras, poring over them line by line, and of course consulting the dictionary a lot. The doctrine follower is interested in Buddhist philosophy. He wants to know all about the Majjhimika and the Abhidharma and the Yogacara, and all the subtle shades of difference between them and their various sub-schools and sub-sub-schools. He enjoys discussions about Buddhist metaphysics and Buddhist epistemology and all that sort of thing. And he enjoys discussion and argument with other intellectually inclined people. He doesn't perhaps experience much in the way of devotional feeling. He usually respects his teacher, but he doesn't feel so great a need for personal contact as the faith follower does. He's quite happy to get his knowledge mainly from books, from the sutras and the shastras. The body witness is the meditator or yogi. And I won't try to explain why he's called body witness. I do explain it in the three jewels, but it's a little complicated. So I'll just call him the body witness. The body witness is the meditator or yogin. The body witness is the person of contemplative temperament. The person who is primarily interested in his own inner experience. He's not especially interested in books or ideas or ritual. He has no wish to study Buddhist philosophy, and very often he enjoys silence. He enjoys living alone, very often, preferably, in the midst of nature. The body witness may have a strong feeling for his teacher, especially at the beginning of his spiritual career, because in meditation, especially if you specialize in meditation, personal guidance is usually necessary. So these are the three temperaments: the faith follower, doctrine follower, and body witness. And it would appear that in the Buddhist tradition, these differences, the differences between these three kinds of spiritual temperament, hold good on both sides of stream entry, though tradition is not altogether clear on this particular point. And it would also seem that under certain conditions it's possible to change, to switch from one kind of temperament to another. But I'm not going into that now. At present I'm concerned with one important question in particular, which is studying the Dharma, is reading Buddhist literature necessary to the same extent for people of all three temperaments? Well, this could be considered an important practical question. Well, apparently it is not necessary. It would seem that there's a great deal of difference between their needs in this respect. The Dharma follower, the doctrine follower, of course, does study and think quite a lot. He reads many books, perhaps writes many books. The faith follower studies and thinks much less, reads perhaps just a few favorite books, often of a devotional nature. The body witness may study hardly at all. The body witness, once he gets really deeply into his meditation, may not read a book even from one year's end to the next. But here, a word of warning is perhaps necessary. One should not rationalize one's failure to study. Shouldn't say, "Oh, I'm a faith follower," or, "Oh, I'm a body witness," as a way of excusing one's laziness with regard to study. If one really is a faith follower, one will not show it just by not studying. One will show it by being very, very devoted. And the same in the case of the body witness. One will not show that one is a natural meditator just by not studying. One will show it by meditating a lot, at least when one gets the opportunity. But here, another important question arises, perhaps even more important than the previous one. And the question is, do people of these three kinds of temperament, the devotional, the intellectual, the meditative, make the same spiritual progress? That is to say, assuming that they make the same kind of effort under roughly the same kind of conditions. I'm going to answer this question with the help of another threefold classification, one with which also many of you will be familiar. That is the classification of the three kinds of prajna, or wisdom. First of all, there's the wisdom that comes by hearing the Dharma, or in modern times, by reading the Dharma in the form of the sutras. Secondly, wisdom which comes by reflecting on the Dharma, that is to say, reflecting on what one has read, so that one understands it. And thirdly, the wisdom which comes by meditating on the Dharma, which one has read about and which one has understood and reflected upon. And these three prajñas, these three wisdoms, are usually understood to represent three different degrees of wisdom. In the first, the wisdom based on hearing, one simply knows about the Dharma. One accumulates information about the Dharma. In the second, through reflection, one understands what one has informed oneself about and reflected upon. And in the third, through meditation, one realizes it. So here, in this particular explanation of this classification, the first two wisdoms are mundane. And only the third, what is called the bhavanamayi prajna, is transcendental. Only the third leads directly to enlightenment. So that's the usual explanation. But there's another way of understanding these three kinds of prajna or wisdom. And here, the difference is not in the wisdom itself. The difference consists in the approach to that wisdom. Here, there's only one transcendental wisdom, not three degrees of wisdom. But there are three different ways in which that one wisdom, that one transcendental wisdom, can be approached and realized. It can be approached and realized equally through intense faith and devotion. After all, the Buddha does say in the Sutta Nipata, by faith the flood is crossed, that is to say, the flood of mundane existence. That same transcendental wisdom can equally be approached and realized through intense and prolonged philosophical reflection, and of course it can be approached and realized through intense meditation. So the first is the approach of the faith follower, the second is the approach of the doctrine follower, and the third is the approach of the body witness. I could say quite a lot more about this particular correlation, but I think I'll have to leave it for another time. I think I've already strayed quite far enough away from the poem itself. Quite a long way, one might say, from the scholars. So we'll have to retrace our steps a little. We got on to the question of the three wisdoms as a result of discussing the three temperaments. We saw that not all practicing Buddhists are equally interested in study, that is to say, Dharma study. Before that, I gave four suggestions for such Dharma study. I gave these suggestions for those who might feel overwhelmed by the sheer quantity of Buddhist literature now available and were wondering how to resolve that issue. So if those suggestions of mine are followed, perhaps we won't feel frustrated and won't be tempted to give up study altogether, and will certainly not wish for a second burning of the books.